It's Monday, a week away from Selection Sunday, and we're already guaranteed chaos from the very first conference championship. It's going to be a hell of a ride for the next 7 days, and we'll be here with you at Sixth Year Seniors.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40! I'm getting tired of losing to Purdue! I'm not here to round this week! That's why I got a college scholarship. That's why I was an All-American in Michigan.
It's Division I football. It's the Big 12.
Now there's so many ways to make love, a million ways. I'm barely making enough.
Go play intramurals, brother.
Oh, yeah. I could give a shit about North Carolina right now.
Mikey, how you doing?
It's been a wild 48, 60, 72 hours. I don't know what it is. I can't keep up with it. I've been on the road trying to keep up with all the stuff. You've been on the road trying to make some plays. There's a lot of basketball going on. We're punching dance tickets. Let's just get right into it. We're on a time limit today, so I can't go off on tangents. I'll do my best, and we'll get into it. The undercard on the conference tournaments has been pretty bonkers so far.
Oh, man, it's been fantastic. Every night, it seems, you have some crazy long shot picking off one, two seeds. It's going to make the NIT selection show really interesting because they no longer require them to take in conference champions who don't make the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, we've talked about that. That's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, you don't even want to get into that. We're on a time limit here. We can't rant.
Exactly.
Let's
I have
go
more important stuff to rant about later.
Oh, great. That's right. We do have a North Carolina victory over Duke to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Just a little bit. Yeah.
First, let's get into the teams that have already made the tournament. As we speak, there are already four. The Ohio Valley clinched the first ticket on Saturday. Morehead State, despite losing the three-way tie for the conference title, comes back and wins the tournament, defeating Little Rock 69-55.
And they had to play that extra game in that one, right, too, didn't they?
They did, yes.
That's right.
Yeah, Little Rock was the number one seed. Morehead had to beat Tennessee Martin in the semi and then beat Little Rock in the final. So they had to go through everybody there was. I kind of like Morehead. They lost three straight about mid-February when Jordan Lathan was injured, their small forward. He's kind of a swing man. He can be a big scorer. He put up 30 against Indiana, but he's more their leader and their glue guy.
If they get a decent draw with the right team, they might be able to pull a little magic. I'm not holding my breath, but you never know.
Yeah, I'm looking at him as about 14 seed. There's three seeds with flaws. Morehead could give him some trouble. They throw up a lot of threes. Those threes go down. Upsets available.
Oh, yeah, if you get hot, who the hell, you know, all bets are off, so.
Then on Sunday, three berths were clinched. In the Big South, here was our first upset. The number five seed, Longwood, knocks off both High Point and then Asheville in the final. And they destroyed Asheville, 85-59.
You know, Longwood beat High Point at the buzzer last week, and we're like, you know, High Point, they've already clinched the one seed in the tournament, didn't mean anything. Maybe that game gave Longwood a little confidence in being able to come out and knock them off in the semis. Longwood's been a little streaky this year, but when they've been up, they look pretty good. I think they're not going to be anything, you know, are they a 16 seed? I don't know that they are. There's enough other chaos going on. I'm not sure about that. I don't know if they can do anything in the tournament, but it'll be fun to watch them try.
Well, that's true, because I was thinking they might end up in a play-in game. But with chaos that may come around in the next week or so, they might get moved into as high as a 15 seed. I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't think there's much there in Longwood.
I had High Point out of the 16 line. I had High Point at least 15.
Oh, I even had it as a 14.
Yeah. And that wouldn't have surprised me, because they were really good. But yeah, this flips the bracket math.
Asheville got to the final, with a nice win over Gardner Webb. The key stat there was Drew Pember puts up a 30-point, 13-rebound, 10-assist triple-double.
Not bad. Not bad for the kid. Been around forever. It's fantastic.
So there's two teams at Little Rock, number one out of the Ohio Valley, and High Point, number one out of Big South. They would have in past years known they were going to the NIT. Do you think they're going to make the NIT this year?
Shit, no. If they get an opportunity to put the little guy out, they're going to put the little guy out. That's how it's going to be. Now, the question is, are there enough big boys who will accept the bids to knock them out? That's more of the question, I think.
Yeah, that's a good point. The NIT might want the big boys, but the big boys may not want the NIT.
Exactly. Looking at you, Virginia.
You know, the girl who didn't make the cheerleading team may want the star quarterback. The star quarterback doesn't want her.
There you go. I don't know if you call it the star quarterback. Maybe the backup quarterback.
Okay. Yeah, good point. Okay.
Backup quarterback still got some clout. You know, high school football in Texas, it's a big deal. So
backup quarterback who's looking to transfer out immediately.
There you go. Transfer over to Fox or whatever the gimmick they're trying to put together. Jeez, God, I hate everything.
In the Missouri Valley, Drake defeats Indiana State yet again, a number one conference tournament team now looking for a spot in the NIT. Drake pulled off a huge first half run and then hung on. Indiana State actually grabbed a brief lead before Tucker DeVries did big man things and got Drake the victory.
They're not really going to leave Kareem Abdul-Jabbar out of the tournament, are they?
I hope not. I really think Indiana State deserves an NCAA bid, much less an NIT bid.
Here's my thought. I can't remember if you made the joke or if somebody on Twitter made the joke, but they've got to throw a mid-major into the first four. Like, it happens every year.
Okay, and here's the chance to do it. Yeah,
I think this is their shot. And they have a marketable mid-major team here because they got this big dorky looking dude with the glasses
who's gone viral. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, I think Indiana slots into the first four. I think they deserve better than that, but I think they're going to wind up in the first four. I'm hearing people say, "Oh, they're my last team in right now." I think they're in.
I think they're in too. They should be in. They shouldn't even be in a play-in game, as far as
I agree.
Unless that play-in game. Well, you remember when the play-in games used to be like 11s, and now it's always 12s? I think they're a solid 11.
Always 12s. And that goes back to where the automatic bids fall. So then the first four kind of slides on a sliding scale. One year there was a play-in game that was a 10.
Oh, man.
I'm trying to remember how the hell that happened, but usually it's an 11. Every now and then it's a 12, and we'll see what happens. It's going to depend on where the auto bids land.
In the Atlantic Sun, Stetson, a number two seed. Eastern Kentucky, the number one, got knocked off. Stetson defeats Austin Peay. I wouldn't say it's a wild finish, but there was a lot of scoring involved and a lot of scoring in the final minute as Stetson claimed the victory on the free throw line, 94-90.
First ever NCAA tournament bid for Stetson, from what I saw.
That makes sense. I don't remember him ever being in the tournament before.
Yeah. There's not a lot left out there. They're one of them.
I think this is another one of those 15-14 seeds. Their best win is Central Florida. The funny thing is their worst loss came a week later at Chicago State.
Oh, no. Chicago State, put them in the tournament right now. Come on.
Yep. We need it.
Yeah.
Jacksonville, by the way, knocked off the conference champs, Eastern Kentucky, and then they gave Stetson a hell of a battle in the semifinal.
Yeah, Stetson had to work for it for sure. I don't know about Eastern getting into the NIT, but we'll see.
Yeah, 17-14, I don't think so, but I still think that I liked the conference champ gets into the NIT regardless rule.
100%.
One game of note in that tournament, number three Lipscomb, lost to Northern Alabama on a runner just inside the three-point line by KJ Johnson, who had transferred to North Alabama after 3 years with Lipscomb.
Ooh. Straight up villain mode there. That's fantastic.
So that brings us up to today, depending on when you're listening to this, and depending on when breaking the fourth wall, I get done editing this stuff.
Yeah.
When I'm done playing with children at the job I get paid for.
At the shoot job, yeah. There's shenanigans going on. There are shenanigans all over this weekend. We may get into them a little bit later, but yes.
The Sun Belt today is Arkansas State and James Madison.
Damn you, Arkansas State! We needed the rubber match here.
We did.
I don't think it was the rubber. I think App swept them. I did App sweep James Madison?
Oh, yes, you're right. I remember this now. Yes, 2 of 3 James Madison losses are to App State.
Yeah, but they can't make the conference final.
But yeah, Arkansas State, man, they're like a mini Alabama with even less defense. Like, this game's going to be fun tonight.
Yeah, it'll be good. I think James Madison should win this game, but App State should have won that game yesterday too. So we'll see what happens.
In a quarterfinal, Texas State upset Troy 74-68. My question to you is because of another certain game going on at the same time. Did you even notice?
I didn't know until the next morning when I checked all the scores. It was a flight plus a road trip this weekend. We went down to Savannah, Georgia. We were on the road during the Duke Carolina game. I had it on radio, and I was not checking. So I was driving middle of night. It's raining. It was brutal. But I had the game on, was able to listen to the whole thing. But yeah, so I wasn't checking in on anything else except for that. I didn't know the old alma mater had lost until the next morning.
In the Southern, finally, we might get a number one seed winning a tournament. Number one Samford is up against upstart number 7 East Tennessee State.
I've had Samford on my watch list for a couple of months now. I'm hoping they take care of business here because they are a team that can legitimately pull a first-day upset in this thing. So let's see what Samford's got.
Then on Tuesday, the Coastal Final starts things out. Right now we're in the semis. It's number 1 Charleston versus number 5 Towson and number 3 Hofstra against number 7 Stony Brook. Stony Brook took out Drexel in double overtime to get there.
Yeah, and who knocked off Wilmington here? I remember they got knocked off, but I can't remember who it was.
Wilmington got knocked off by Towson. Wilmington was down as the 4 seed.
That's right. I remember looking, yeah, because I was like, wait a minute, Charleston, Wilmington, that could be a semi. And then Towson beat, that's right. Now, I like Charleston here to hold service number 1. Hofstra might be able to give him a fight, but we'll see.
Out in the horizon, it has played out as expected, which means utter chaos. Number 1 Oakland is still around. They're going to play number 7 Cleveland State. And then number 5 Northern Kentucky faces number 6 Milwaukee.
Good Lord. Yeah, so other than Oakland, bottom half has held serve. So in the quarters here, only one of the 4 games stays within, what did we say, 5.5 points?
Oh, that's right. I remember we had that.
Yeah. And Milwaukee and Detroit was within 4. So only 2 games so far in the tournament have been within 2 possessions.
Which is shocking because these games have been entertaining. It's just that they've kind of spread out at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Well, of course, it's always entertaining when the favorite is losing.
Oh, absolutely.
By the way, in one of the first round games, yes, Milwaukee had to play a first round game. They struggled to beat Detroit 83-79. Detroit put on one of the best games they've had this season. But they finished 1-30, and the next day, Detroit fired Mike Davis.
Speaking of firing coaches, quick tangent, 30-second tangent. Did you see the Utah State women's coach got fired and then got sent out to the post-game presser in the Mountain West tournament?
No. They fired her and then sent her out to the presser?
Yes.
That's like giving a news anchor an open mic after you've told him he's fired.
Yeah, so she came out. She came out, she took one question, she just said, yeah, and I just got fired, so I'm guessing that's the last question. Nobody said anything, she walked off.
I would have laid everybody under the bus at that point. Who wants to ask me anything about this goddamn university?
Yeah. Now, to be fair, I think somebody said Utah State had lost the last four games by like a combined 136 points or something like that.
Oh, man.
Nevertheless.
Well, we'll get to some other women's action.
Oh, yes, we will. Oh, yes, we will.
In the Northeast, it's number 2 Merrimack against number 6 Wagner. That is the final. Wagner knocked off number 1 Central Connecticut 66-56 in the semifinal.
That's 16 seed playing on a pole, isn't it?
It really is.
I think it is.
It really is. Wagner's made for tournament basketball. They play real slow, they win turnover battles, and they rebound well. The unfortunate thing is they can't shoot worth a damn.
Yeah, minimize your variation. You can hang around, and if you're good at it, we've seen what you can do. So,
but yeah, this is definitely a play-in game.
Yeah, winner plays UConn. Congratulations.
Oh no! Winner plays whoever to play UConn.
Oh yes, yeah. That's what I meant. Yes. Yeah.
Out in the Summit, we're at the semifinals. Top half of the bracket stayed true to form, number 1 South Dakota State and number 4 St. Thomas. But on the other side, number 6 Omaha and number 7 Denver both upset opponents late last night.
Yeah, Summit's been off my radar. I still do think it's South Dakota State.
Well, especially now.
Yeah.
Unless St. Thomas gets hot, which will screw everything up because they're not eligible for the NCAA tournament.
Oh, very good point.
And then the big one on Tuesday night, West Coast Conference. Right now we are in the semis tonight. St. Mary's versus Santa Clara and USF against Gonzaga.
Mm.
I think USF has a shot at Gonzaga tonight.
It'll take a hell of an effort. I think they'll give Gonzaga more of a game than Santa Clara will. I think St. Mary's is going to
clean the floor with Santa Clara. Yeah.
Yeah. That may work at Santa Clara's advantage for a rematch. If the Zags have to exert a little more effort in getting to the final, St. Mary's may have a little more gas.
Well, okay, and that's the thing that USF has going for them, because they didn't have to use a lot of gas in their last game. They played Portland, who is down to essentially 7 players. They jumped them 16-2, and it was all over. USF sat guys in the final minutes. So they're ready for Gonzaga.
Yep.
Another note, early in the tournament, poor Pacific loses to Pepperdine 102-43. The Waves scored the first 26 points, Pacific didn't reach double digits until 18:58 in the second half. At that point, the game was 58-11.
Somebody stop the damn match, for the love of God.
That really is. I mean, I'm trying to think of some heel just beating the tar out of a good guy and he's bleeding the sieve. And I can't think of a comparison with this game.
Oh, man. We can't go on tangents today.
No, we can't go on tangents. You're right.
I don't have a quick answer, so I'm not going down one.
Hard stop. On Wednesday, talking about upset potentials, Sacramento State, the 10 seed in the Big Sky, beats number 9 Idaho in the opener, and then, man, last night, knocks off number 1 Eastern Washington.
Monkey in the wrench, good Lord.
And on the other side of the bracket, number 8 Idaho did the same thing to number 2 Northern Colorado. Today, the 4-5 and 3-6 matchups take place, and that sets up the semifinals.
So whoever wins the Big Sky at this point
might be a play-in.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You'll probably be a play-in. I was going to say that's lining up to play Arizona in the first round based on the geography, but yeah, they might get even demoted to play-in status. So.
Well, no, because again, tangents, but you keep saying that Arizona isn't going to get the number 1 seed, and there's no way that the winner of the Big Sky is going to be a 15.
But that, yeah, and that's kind of the, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking is playing time rather than I just know the tournament likes their stupid ass geography, so they're going to try to keep the Big Sky in a pod out west. The problem is if the seeds don't line up, yeah, you got to do something with them anyway. So
the HBCU schools are really they're cheering on all these underdogs right now.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
They're like, get us out of those Tuesday Wednesday games.
Yep.
In the Patriot, it's going to be number 6 Lehigh, who's going to be the victim of choice for Colgate.
You know, Colgate had to work against Bucknell. It was not an easy out for Colgate to make the final here, although Lehigh had to go to overtime too. I do think Colgate shakes off their semifinal scare and drops the hammer here. I would be stunned otherwise.
And then the Southland has their tournament final also on Wednesday. We're just into the second day of the tournament today for them. McNeese State, of course, the heavy favorite.
Yeah, McNeese is also one of those teams that's been on the radar for a few months now as a possible spoiler in the big dance. They should win this, should they take care of business, but there's been enough carnage already, you can't take anything for granted.
I think, however, because there's been enough carnage, teams like McNeese are going to see that their coach, Will Wade, is going to be smart enough to make them notice that. And they won't come out lackadaisical. If anything, it'll come out even harder against a lesser opponent.
Very good point. Absolutely.
And then on Saturday, the final championship before the big championship weekend, the American East has their semis on Tuesday with a final on Saturday. Vermont still alive, the number one seed.
Go Catamounts.
Before we go to break, let's talk women's basketball. Both times, South Carolina has been involved in newsworthy events. Let's talk about the fun one first before we get to the bad one. South Carolina remains unbeaten despite being down 24 points to Tennessee. Camilla Cardoza, a 6'7 center, hits a step back three at the buzzer for the victory.
They gave it to her. I mean, it was like they just cleared it. Yeah, she's not going to hit that shot. Oh, okay. Banks it in to win the game.
Yeah, that was her first three made in college. It was only her second career attempt. She made one attempt as a freshman back at Syracuse.
That got South Carolina to the SEC final.
Want to backtrack real quickly. Great camera work by, I'm guessing that was the ESPN crew, of the Tennessee coach just in shock. That was just, it was great. I just great facials. But yes, then that got them to the final against LSU. And it was late in the game, right, when this happened?
There was about two minutes left.
Yeah, okay. So stuff's been brewing all game. Foul is called. There's some pushing, some shoving, some shoulders being thrown. Somebody gets knocked to the ground, probably maybe a quarter of a flop, and all hell breaks. So,
whoever it was on LSU gave a decent shove to the South Carolina player who came by yapping. Okay, it's basketball.
Yeah, there was a lot of yapping.
It was a decent shove. And then the South Carolina girl who was up behind the play saw this and said, uh-uh. That ain't happening. It came up. And like I said, it was a NBA Jam type shove. I am with you, I do think there was a bit of a flop that went along with it. But it was a solid shove. Once she hit the deck, it was all hell broke loose.
She probably got more injured than Kyle Filipowski did.
Which time? Oh, we'll get to that later. No tangents. We'll get to that later.
I think we just found the title of this show.
Yes, we did.
Well, anyway, three guys come flying out of the stands, and there's an alternate television angle that shows how deep in – they were like 5 or 6 rows deep, and they come running. They hop the barrier. One guy
all
makes
over
it
the scorer's
court.
Table, yeah.
It ended up being the player's brother. And good on security stopping him because he was ready to commit a felony assault.
We were ready to fight. Yeah.
If he'd gotten his hands on somebody and actually you know, threw a punch, which I'm sure he would have. Oh my God, could you imagine the reaction then?
Oh God. Oh my God. Yeah. I'm glad we look. I'm all out here for booking some heat. This is great. This is fantastic stuff. But we can't have fans. I don't care if your family or not coming. You can't have a family rush the ring from the crowd.
There is a barrier there for a reason.
Exactly. 100%. Exactly. Somebody said it was like a reverse Malice in the Palace. What the players?
I did.
That's what it was. Yeah. It wasn't the players rushing into the stands. It was the fans rushing out of the court to throw down. So. Nobody got hit like Bald Bull, like the Bald Bull Jermaine O'Neal punch.
Oh yes, yes.
It didn't get that bad. No, this is great though. You know, this is what we kind of miss about college basketball, and we talked a little bit about this last week. Is that the women's game is getting more attention and whatnot, just because we have players staying at school in school longer. We get to know them. There's legitimate beef that brews over, especially in conference play. South Carolina, LSU is the defending national champion. South Carolina, I think, had been before. South Carolina's trying to come back and do it again this year. I mean, so there's legitimate beef here. The two of the best programs in the nation, they don't like each other. Personal issues draw money, damn it. And that's what we're doing here. And this is great. This is fantastic. They were, you know, the ESPN issue said everybody that left the bench was immediately ejected and suspended for the next game. That they pulled back on that. It's not the whole bench, but I mean, so anyway, no, just wild stuff. South Carolina ends up winning the game, remains undefeated heading into the NCAA tournament. Just excellent stuff, and we're doing some hot angles here in the women's game. This is great.
A couple notes from me. First, good on the security, especially the uniform dude that stopped the guy who got on
the
court.
Yes, 100%.
That was fantastic because he probably stopped a riot. There were two other security guys that caught the other two before they could get over the barrier. Or I think they got him as soon as they got on the floor, but they never got on the court.
Yes.
Kudos to both of those dudes. And then it was reported this morning that the guy who got on the court was arrested and charged. I don't know what he was charged with, but he has been arrested, which is good. Because they initially let him go.
Okay. Yeah, that's the last thing I'd seen. So
yeah.
Okay.
And third, hey, NCAA, if you're really worried about player security, stop worrying about court storming and worry about this shit.
Yeah. Oh, very good point. Although if we don't have if the fight doesn't break out, nobody's trying to hop the rail here, and I'm all out here encouraging fights to break out. So maybe that makes me a hypocrite. I don't know, but
well, come on, you're also a hockey fan, so
well, also that. But we'll talk about encouraging fights on the other side of the break.
So I guess that means we're going to break. We're perfect timing here. This is awesome. No tangents. Hard stop. But once
we get
done with that, we might want to take a vacation and celebrate how well we're staying on course today. If so, who might we call?
Yeah, if you're ready to take a tangent from life, hit up Wendy Prater. That's how you do it right there. Hit up Wendy Prater at Magic Journeys Travel. She'll take care of all of your necessities and requirements for your next awesome getaway. If you want to get away with the friends, hang out for a week, all inclusive down in the Caribbean, hit her up. Want to take the friends and family up out on a cruise? You can take the little ones out on the cruise. You can split up, run all around the boat. It's all enclosed. It's fantastic. Or if you need to take the little ones to Disney or Universal, Southern California, Florida, hit her up. Custom-made itineraries for you and your traveling crew at no extra charge to you. Look, she knows her stuff. Just hit her up for the best tangents out there. Find her on social media, WP Magic Journeys, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the usual places. Tell her you heard about her on Sixth Year Senior. She'll give you $25 off your next trip deposit. Wendy Prater at Magic Journeys Travel. She makes the plans, you make the memories.
Let's look ahead to the conference tournaments that start this week. On Tuesday, we have five big ones: Atlantic 10, ACC, Big 12, Conference USA, Metro Atlantic. Let's start with the Atlantic 10. Your number one seed is Richmond. The top four get double byes. That's Richmond, Loyola Chicago, Dayton, and Massachusetts. What you got here?
I got that there's a whole lot of bubble teams out there that are rooting for Dayton. That's what I got. Because I think it's a one-bid league, presuming Dayton wins the tournament. But Richmond has been has gotten a little frisky here over the last month, and the Spiders could make things very interesting, not just for the Flyers, but for the rest of the bubble. I think it's going to come down to Dayton and Richmond in the final. All bets are off.
Do you think either of them can get in as an at-large?
Dayton can, absolutely. I think Dayton's in. I don't think it's... I think if anybody else wins, it's a two-bid league.
Oh, man. If Dayton's in, this is a really soft tournament. Maybe I'm underappreciating the Atlantic 10 this year, but I just don't see Dayton as a tournament team.
They're 24-6. If you look at the non-con, it's decent enough. They wins over you know, LSU. Not that LSU's been anything great, but they won on the road at LSU.
But the SEC stinks.
They beat Cincinnati. They beat Longwood. We've seen what Longwood's done.
Okay, there we go. We're getting into Bret Hart territory there. El Dandy.
They won at SMU. Was that a true road game? Yes, that was a true road game on that. And of course, we've talked about it, you know, the greatness of the Big Ten. They did lose at, you know, Big Ten runner-up or whatever they are, Big Ten double bye recipient, Northwestern. It's not a great non-con, but it's a solid non-conference because they got to win over St. John's. I think Dayton is comfortably in. I think they lose in the conference tournament. They are a non-play-in 11 at worst.
Oh, there we go. That's big boy statements.
Yeah.
All right.
If they win the A-10, they're at 8 or 9.
All right. Let's move to the ACC. Your North Carolina Tar Heels are the number one seed because they swept the Duke Blue Devils.
Brooms and trophies, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, there's no sharing the conference title. Carolina takes it outright. Cormac Ryan, 31 points at Cameron Indoor Stadium. Shows up on Franklin Street on top of the team bus with the ACC championship trophy.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's king shit right there. Just absolutely fantastic performance. Carolina jumped him right out of the gate. For all the talk that Duke had about, you know, not matching Carolina's intensity in the first meeting, Carolina punched him in the face right out of the gate. Carolina never trailed. In the two games this year, UNC leads for all but 16 seconds of the two games this year. However, we know about the ACC. We could be squaring up for a third meeting next Saturday night in Washington, D.C. for the ACC tournament crown. I think if Carolina beats Duke a third time, I think they're the fourth number one seed.
Especially after the losses we've seen in this past weekend.
That's how it sort of gets them in. I think a third win over Duke sort of is the resume builder that puts them over the top. If they win the ACC over anybody else, I think Tennessee can jump them. If Tennessee, like we kind of talked about this last week, if Tennessee can play, you know, play and beat two of Auburn, Bama, and Kentucky to win the SEC championship. If none of that happens and both teams win the league, I think Carolina will probably get the nod just because they beat Tennessee earlier this year. But if both teams lose in the conference tournament and Arizona wins the Pac-12, I think Arizona is the final number one seed out West. I think that's the cycle there. And if everybody loses, it's basically who has the best loss in their conference tournament is the last number one seed. I think that's what it comes down to. There are three teams playing for the last number one seed here.
If everybody loses, then Scott Steiner wins.
Absolutely. Two more things on the Carolina-Duke game. One, Kyle Filipowski, once again, trying his best to up villain status by tripping Harrison Ingram, Grayson Allen style in the first half. There's no call on the play whatsoever. They don't even review it for a flagrant or anything. Kyle Filipowski, so he trips Harrison Ingram, then gets up and acts like he's twisted his ankle, tries to shake it off and whatnot.
Well, he probably did twist his ankle. He is pretty fragile.
Well, in the post game, he says, oh, you know, I slipped. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't even know he was back there. Ingram put both hands on him because he used Filipowski to try to get up. So Filipowski knew he was there. And then he says he slipped. I slipped. You don't slip and move your leg up to trip somebody. It was blatant. It was ridiculous. It was so stupid. Kyle Filipowski, you want to be a Thanos-type villain. This is me using a comic book reference here because I don't like that. He wants to be the big, bad, final boss guy. And at best, Filipowski, you are a throwaway one-episode villain on the Disney Plus streaming show that immediately gets forgotten about. You're soft. You're a punk. I don't care. Carolina whooped you. And Carolina went and told the Cameron Crazies about it at the end of the game and had water bottles thrown at them, had water thrown on them. It was awesome. It was fantastic. We had a halfway riot. They didn't let, speaking of security, security did not let any of the Carolina players get up on the scorer's table like Blake Henson for Pitt did a few weeks back when Pitt beat Duke at Cameron. So they avoided that. It was a hell of a scene. I love it that we've got heat, real heat again in the Duke-Carolina rivalry where both sides really don't like each other. You know, back at the end of the Krzyzewski and Roy Williams era, you know, we had Grayson Allen and that kind of stuff, but there was a little bit of a respect there that was going on. I think now that the coaches on both sides have churned, I think we can get back to some of the real pettiness on the court, and I love it, man. This is fantastic, and it's always easier for me to love it when Carolina beats them twice in one season. Let's do it. Absolutely fantastic. Go Heels. They are proving when the competition ramps up, they can turn it up and made plays down the stretch to win the game on both sides of the court. We'll see what they got for the conference tournament.
You mentioned Blake Henson in Pittsburgh. Somehow they are the 4 seed in the ACC tournament. Wake Forest is number 5. Clemson 6. That means Virginia squeaks in again as number 3. I see some teams in opening round games that can make some runs here.
I would not be shocked at all if Virginia loses their quarterfinal game. Pitt and Wake, that's... If, you know, presuming that happens, that's a hell of a quarterfinal.
Georgia Tech in that draw. I can see Georgia Tech beating both Wake and Pitt.
Georgia Tech, they have turned it around here at the end of the year. They knocked off Wake Forest in a game that Wake absolutely had to have the other night. ACC is wide open, and I'm a little hesitant to say that it's Carolina, Duke, and then the field. Because I do think, and I've been saying it all year, the nationally the league has been underrated. There are teams underneath that can compete at a higher level, and they've really just kicked themselves in their own nuts all season long to keep it from really getting interesting. Pitt and Wake could do something. Georgia Tech could do something.
North Carolina State, I think, can do something. They'll beat Louisville. They can beat Syracuse, and that puts them up for another rematch against Duke.
Syracuse has got some good guards, though. Man, it's the ACC tournament's going to be really good. It's going to be really, really good. And again, all year, national media has just been like, the ACC's down this season. I think the middle of the ACC is really, really solid and has just been disrespected all year long. I think it's going to be a fun tournament.
Let's move on to the Big 12, where Houston is your number one seed and... Hey, Mikey, what's Kansas doing down at number 6?
Number 6 what?
Seed number 6 for Kansas.
Oh, Kansas. Oh, I you said Kansas. I heard Houston. I'm sorry. My apologies. Oh, yeah. Houston's not number 6 in anything right now.
Houston's number 1. Kansas, number 6. Did not finish first. Did not finish second.
I don't know if it was last week, 2 weeks ago, it was just made the pieces just didn't fit here. McCullough's been banged up. Hunter Dickinson's now hurt.
Yeah, dislocated shoulder. Yeah.
Kansas hasn't been able to win on the road all year long. Let's just say Kansas loses in their quarterfinal game.
To either Cincinnati or West Virginia.
Yeah, that could happen.
Could.
Where do they wind up in the tournament? Are they a 4 or 5?
They've got four.
They've got first round. They might end up a 5. They've got first round.
If they were Gonzaga, they'd be out of the tournament.
Oh, come on.
No tangents.
No tangents. Yeah, Kansas is in trouble. Iowa State, Baylor, 2 and 3 here.
Yeah, and Texas Tech is your 4. I really like BYU as the 5. I think they're a threat to win this tournament.
Big 12's going to be good. if we get an Iowa State Baylor game on the other half of the semi, that's great. And Houston against Tech or BYU. I kind of with you, though. I like BYU coming out of the five hole here. That could absolutely be a thing.
Well, Houston's been thinned out by injuries. They don't need to win this tournament. Yeah. They're already a number one seed. There's absolutely no reason to put any effort into the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah, very good point.
Conference USA also starts on Tuesday with a play-in game, Jacksonville State and Florida International. Then on Wednesday and Thursday, the quarters take place. Sam Houston is your number one seed after winning at Louisiana Tech to clinch the conference title.
Could Baby Doll's husband do something here?
I think Baby Doll's husband can do something. I like the Sam Houston team.
It's the Bearcats. It's the Bulldogs. I think it's Sam Houston, Louisiana Tech, and the field here. Western Kentucky is faded down the stretch. It feels like a two-team tournament.
The funny thing is this has been the toughest conference to win on the road. Now that we're at a neutral site, we'll really see who has talent and who just performed well at home.
That's a good point.
I think Sam Houston is still the best team, but don't be surprised to see some upsets. I'm especially looking at New Mexico State when they don't have to travel all the way across the country. Finally, the Metro Atlantic starts up. On Tuesday, you have three play-in games, and then on Wednesday and Thursday, you have the quarterfinals. Quinnipiac is your number one seed.
Quinnipiac, Fairfield, and I don't know if I trust anybody else over here, though that means absolutely nothing. But it's those two and everybody else.
St. Pete's falling all the way down to the number five seed, last year's Cinderella. Yeah. On Wednesday, we have a bunch of starts, including some of the big majors. The American kicks things off with a couple of play-in games. Then you have the first quarterfinal on Thursday, followed by the second quarterfinal on Friday. South Florida is your number one seed, despite talking heads claiming that they can't make the NCAA tournament without winning the conference tournament. How do you figure that?
Well, we've talked about this a little bit. They won the league by two games. They beat Florida Atlantic, but they only had to play him once, and they caught him at home. And is there enough meat on the bone of the non-conference resume? And that's what they're going to keep going back to on this. They beat Florida State. They beat Loyola Chicago. And there ain't much on there other than that. That's what they're going to keep going back to. But again, they beat Florida Atlantic. They beat Memphis. Again, they only drew Memphis one time. So the conference schedule itself was favorable. They're going to get punished for that. I kind of think, they won the league by two games. I kind of think so long as they don't get knocked out in the first round, they can sneak in. But maybe I'm not the one putting this thing together.
Well, okay, so if they lose in the first round, that means losing either East Carolina or Tulsa. That would be bad.
That would be bad, exactly.
But they have a chance to make, some decent wins. They have UAB and Memphis on their side of the bracket. That could be their semifinal, and then, of course, a possible final against Florida Atlantic or Charlotte or North Texas or SMU. I mean, there's a lot of depth in the other side of the bracket.
Yeah, and again, just don't lose anything stupid, and I'll take my chances. Again, they win the league by two games. This isn't the old American League. There's been some movement around. We know this. We know it. But there's still enough good teams in the league. This isn't your average mid-major conference or anything like that. I don't know if they're still one of the big boys, so to speak. Are they a notch right below the Mountain West? I would say so.
They're better than the Atlantic 10.
Yes, 100% on that. And I think that's good enough for the regular season champion, who only lost two games in league, to get back into the tournament.
If you think Dayton can get in without winning the tournament, I think South Florida has to.
That's probably fair. And again, that might be a South Florida, if they don't win the tournament, they might be on that 11 line. Are we going to Dayton to play to do a play-in game, or are we going to Thursday, Friday? I don't know.
Oh, here's what we need: play-in game. No tangents, I know. But we need USF against USF.
San Francisco's not getting in unless they win the conference.
I know,
And they can't put a conference champion in the play-in game. So.
But unless you're a 16
seed conference champ. Yeah.
In the Big East, Connecticut, of course, is your number one seed.
Again, like you said with Houston, what does UConn have to do going all out to win the Big East tournament? I say that because I think UConn in third gear can beat everybody to win the conference tournament. Creighton, I could see Creighton giving them a run, getting hot. Like Creighton loves to shoot their threes, and if they're hitting, they could be hard to beat. Although if they stop hitting, we saw what happened. Villanova came all the way back from 24 down, and then Creighton beat them at the buzzer.
That was heartbreaking.
Keeping Nova firmly on the bubble. Marquette, Kolek still banged up. Is he good? At what point will he be back? I don't know. I think Marquette without Tyler Kolek is not the same team whatsoever. They're going to need him to get healthy. And you start looking down the list here. It's like, wait a minute. The Big East feels like it gets thin pretty fast, especially if Marquette's not full strength. So, man, I don't know what else there is here. It's Connecticut and Creighton if they get hot. And other than that, yeah, I'm not sure.
Shaka Smart said, Kolek, quote, will return at some point in the postseason. That doesn't sound promising.
Maybe that helps Marquette out, though, because Shaka as an underdog is the way to do
it. Good point.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's the whole wounded dog thing here. So who the hell knows?
A potential semifinal matchup could be Connecticut and St. John's in New York.
At the
Garden.
Give
me St. John's, please and thank you.
At the Garden, that would be must-see TV, absolutely.
In the Big Ten, Purdue is your number one seed, but here's the glory that is the Big Ten. Nebraska is number three, and Northwestern is number four.
Good God. How pathetic.
Meanwhile,
this league is garbage.
Meanwhile, in the play-in games, which will be on the Peacock, which we can talk about briefly, even though no tangents, Maryland, Penn State, Michigan, big name schools, all sitting in the opening round game.
How did Rutgers fall all the way to the
bottom
of the league?
They cannot shoot the ball. They're the Iowa football version of basketball.
Yeah, we said it a few weeks ago, and it's absolutely true. It's just brutal. Everybody from 5, and I'm going to even include Rutgers in this, everybody from 5 through 13 in this league is the exact same team, and all of them suck.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
This is this is atrocious. Which, congratulations, Nebraska and Northwestern, you're not included in that.
Well, also, you're not including Michigan because they're worse than you suck.
Yes. Oh, Michigan is a dumpster fire right now.
By the way, okay, talking about you suck, here's this for transitions. So Purdue and Illinois played on the Cock on Tuesday, and it was reported by many people that their server was overwhelmed and the game buffered constantly. Hey, Peacock, good job there.
Peacock had a Notre Dame football game. Peacock had an NFL playoff game earlier this year.
And the reports were that sucked, too.
I don't remember it. I remember there being issues, but not that many issues. Man, I don't know. This is ridiculous. So, come on.
Hey, quick tangent. No, we need this one. Talking about big events on streaming services. It was just announced recently that Mike Tyson is going to return to the ring summer at Jerry Jones' big stadium to fight YouTube hero Jake Paul. Any thoughts?
Why can't I stream it? It's right in my backyard. I could go pay $100 to go see the fight live. Why? Who cares? Literally, who cares? I do not give a crap about any of that. If Mike Tyson was coming out of retirement to fight somebody I halfway cared about, maybe. There's no interest whatsoever in this for me. I'm an old man now. I don't give a shit.
The only hope, and I think everybody has this, is nobody's there to watch Jake Paul win. They're there to watch Mike Tyson beat the crap out of him. And that's the only hope. But Vegas already has Paul as like a minus 500 favorite. But what it has done has taken people like me back to 1986, and I pulled up the Marvis Frazier fight just to watch Mike Tyson beat the shit out of him in like 48 seconds.
I'll pull up the Spinks fight every now and then. It's just incredible. Michael Spinks was defeated before the national anthem finished. It was great. Absolutely fantastic. Here's my question would be this. Are they gonna Vince McMahon this thing? Is this thing booked? Is this a legitimate competition?
That's just it. Nobody knows yet. They booked the site. I don't even think they booked the real exact date, and nobody said anything about rules.
Yeah.
They better put a face guard on Mike Tyson. I'd love to see him bite Jake Paul's ear off. Maybe that's what we need.
I broke my back. Spinal. Who cares? Literally, though, who cares? I do not care.
Out in the Big West, the opening round games, Riverside and Bakersfield, Santa Barbara and Northridge, there's nothing like Southern California violence. UC Irvine is your number one seed. UC Davis is your number two. I don't remember this being a thing, but San Diego is now not in the Big West tournament. I think they saw how good they were and said, no, you ain't screwing this up.
They got to be ineligible for the conference tournament, too. I know that varies league to league. So yeah. I don't know.
You ain't going to St. Thomas us.
Yeah, exactly. Give me the Anteaters here. They might be peaking at the right time here.
Davis has looked really good this year. And getting Hawaii on the mainland for a long bit of time where they can acclimate and play, they could be dangerous. They're in the same side of the bracket as Davis. I think either one of those can give Irvine a battle.
That's fair. And as always, rainbows in the tournament would be super fun.
Next, we go to the Mountain West. This is going to be a fantastic tournament. We've been talking about them all year long. Utah State won the conference title. They're the number one seed. Nevada snuck in as number two and actually had a chance to win the conference tournament had they beat UNLV and New Mexico knocked off Utah State in the final day.
Yeah, Nevada squashed Boise's dreams of being able to win the league outright by going into Boise and winning that game Tuesday night. Pulled the upset fairly comfortably, pulling away in the second half. The Wolfpack they've been under the radar through about mid-January, and then all of a sudden, things started happening for Nevada. There's some stuff brewing there in Reno, so we'll see what happens there. The Nevada-Boise State rematch in the semis is on the table. That would be interesting. They split during the regular season, winning on each other's home court. Can Utah State get out of the top end of the bracket to make the final to set that up? UNLV sitting there in the four hole. San Diego State's all the way down to the five. This is a loaded conference tournament, and I know Colorado State's been up and down and whatnot, but they're still lurking on the bottom half of the bracket too. It's a seven deep tournament, and I don't know that all seven teams get an at-large berth into the NCAA tournament should they not win the league, but it's hard for me to, I don't know.
They should get six. Colorado State's going to need to make a run because they've been overwhelming during the conference season. But if they do, I think they could be the sixth team. Then the question, I think it really comes down to Colorado State and New Mexico.
I don't know. UNLV's got a good win over Creighton back in December.
They've got some bad luck. They have three quad four losses. Yeah.
They've got a weird resume.
By the way, the opening round on this is Wednesday. And if you want to see a good streaming service, check out the Mountain West. It's free service. Most of their games, end up coming through Stadium, with the local broadcasters. But that's a really nice free streaming service. Peacock should take notes.
Take notes, absolutely.
Pac-12 also starts on Wednesday, talking about needing to take notes. Oh, wait, they should have done that a couple years ago.
You ain't lying on that.
Arizona is your number one seed, despite losing to USC on the final day of the season.
Not an ideal slip up for the Wildcats, considering they're still in the hunt for a one seed. Like I mentioned earlier, I kind of feel like that one put them to the back of the line of the three teams trying to snag that last spot. Although I think the way this works out, I think geographically, they're going to wind up in the West anyway. Whether it's the one or the two, I have a hunch that's the way they're going to wind up bracketing it, even though it's not the way they should bracket it. So geographically, they may be all right, but it may make their tournament draw a little trickier if they can't get back to that one line. The Cats got some stuff to play for here. Washington State, I think they're comfortably in, but then after that, it gets a little dicey. I don't know if the Buffs or the Ducks got enough to sneak back in.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think there's a lot of teams playing for their NCAA tournament lives. And that's going to make Arizona really vulnerable in this tournament because all of them are on their side of the bracket. USC could meet Arizona again in a rematch in the second round. You've got Oregon and a always difficult UCLA team. Meanwhile, Washington State will probably take on the winner of Colorado and Utah, and that's not that big of a deal. I can see Washington State winning this tournament.
I could too. I do expect Arizona to right the ship and take care of business here. It would not surprise me if they got somewhere along the way.
In the SEC, we have opening round games beginning on Wednesday. On Friday, the top four teams take the court. Tennessee is your number one seed. Kentucky, how did Kentucky become the number two? Alabama 3, Auburn 4.
There's a weird four-way tiebreaker that came down to cumulative record. Kentucky won the tiebreaker, which meant South Carolina, your South Carolina Gamecocks.
They're going to win the entire tournament. Not just the SEC tournament, the NCAA tournament.
The tournament. They get shuffled down to five. They do not get the double bye. So they're going to have to play the extra game there and then draw Auburn if they can get out of that on the top half of the bracket. Kentucky and Alabama sort of squaring up for another showdown on the bottom. Kentucky goes into Knoxville and knocks off Tennessee on the last day of the regular season for the SEC. Kinnett goes for 40, but Kentucky just keeps running up and down the court and scoring points. Highly entertaining basketball. They don't play enough defense where I can trust them to win the NCAA tournament, but I can see them making a run here before somebody with some discipline gets them. So I think it's high variable basketball for Kentucky. When they're on, they might be the best team in the country, and I know what that entails. When they're on, the problem is they can't stay on for 40 minutes at a time. They can't stay on for more than 15 minutes at a time. But in short bursts, Kentucky might be the best team in the nation. And the problem is, if for 15 minutes, that's great. What do they do for the other 25? And I think somebody in the SEC tournament is going to show them what happens on that. I have no idea what's going to happen in this, but I don't trust anybody below the... I'm not even going to throw South Carolina in there. Tennessee, Auburn, or Alabama, or Kentucky, one of those is going to win this tournament, and I don't trust Kentucky. I think it's going to wind up being Auburn or Alabama, and we'll see how it falls.
If the listeners remember, late 80s Loyola Marymount, Kentucky is the closest thing we've seen to that since.
You're not entirely wrong on that. They get up and down the court. It's super fun to watch.
And the Vegas totals have been insane. They'll start at like the high 160s and keep getting bet up. And they cover.
I mentioned Alabama a minute ago. Florida got them the other day. Alabama might be fading here too. Maybe I said Alabama or Auburn are going to win. Maybe it's Auburn. Maybe Auburn's the team that's going to win here. Or maybe Tennessee runs the table. I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen here. It'll be one way or the other. This will be an entertaining semis and finals. South Carolina maybe can pull an upset. Maybe Florida. I don't trust anybody below six to do anything in this gimmick.
One thing to keep an eye on for Alabama in that Florida game, Ryland Griffin took a big hit going for a loose ball, suffered a calf injury that Kyle Filipowski has never seen before. but his chances of playing are questionable at this point.
That could be a tough loss. So something to keep an eye on there.
Let's head over to the Southwest Athletic Conference. Their opening round games start on Wednesday. They go into Thursday. Grambling is your number one seed.
I would like to see Grambling being able to pull this off. I think this is a wide open league, though. Again, like you mentioned earlier, pulling for enough upsets somewhere else where they don't get buried in the play-in game Tuesday or Wednesday. We'll see. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Rooting for a game on Thursday or Friday. That's the best thing you can say about the SWAC.
Absolutely.
I like Texas Southern. They were the preseason conference favorites, and they just didn't perform up to par in big games. Let's see if they have a shot at it now. They are the number three seed. Finally, in the WAC, the final conference to start on Wednesday, Grand Canyon is your number one. Had to fight off a very tough Tarleton team, who is number two, but not eligible for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it's too bad, because Tarleton's been frisky this year. They rushed the court, and nobody got tripped or stomped on or twisted ankles or anything like that when Tarleton beat Grand Canyon a few weeks ago. I wish we could see another game between them, but it's not meant to be with Tarleton ineligible. It's Grand Canyon here. Grand Canyon's going to take care of business. And Grand Canyon's good enough where they could sneak up on somebody in a couple of weeks and knock somebody off.
Well, yeah, I mean, we could see another Grand Canyon-Tarleton game.
It wouldn't mean
anything. It just won't mean as much, yeah. Then on Thursday, the Mid-American is the penultimate conference to begin tournament play. Just eight teams. Toledo is your number one, having stolen that title from Akron in the final week of the season.
I can't wait to bet against the MAC champion in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
I'm beginning to believe in you now, man. Akron has so disappointed me. They lost to Eastern Michigan as a 21.5 point favorite this past week.
It's a bad league. God, they're bad.
And then just to make sure that they'd screwed themselves, they lost to Western Michigan in the final game of the season.
Come on. Do better.
You want better? We go to Saturday, where the final conference starts tournament play. And that, of course, is the Ivy League.
I'm going to say, if you start on Saturday, either you're playing two games in one day or there's only 2 days of playing, which means there's just semis. That would be the Ivy League.
Princeton versus Brown, and then Yale versus Cornell.
I'll say this. Princeton didn't entirely run away with the league like I thought they would.
It was a pure dogfight. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be Princeton and then everybody else, because we kept saying, you know, the battle to win the league was going to be important because, you know. But Cornell and Yale separated themselves pretty early on to say, all right, this is what it was. So then the battle for one was important, not because of the bottom draw, but it was you didn't have to play the other two schools in the semi. So I think just that alone, Princeton gets the easy draw, and Cornell and Yale are going to have to really fight it out to make the final. I think that just sets up for Princeton to win this thing. And Princeton's good enough to give somebody a fit on Thursday or Friday in the tournament.
Oh, no kidding. I think any one of those three teams, Princeton, Yale, or Cornell, can give somebody fits in the first round of the tournament.
I think all three can give somebody fits. I think Princeton can win.
Oh, okay.
I think that's the dividing line. I think Princeton is good enough. Depending on what the exact draw is, although, man, the way everything else, if Princeton can win this thing, they are sliding up the seed lines right now. You could see Princeton as an 11 seed.
Oh, man. They can definitely hold their own against a 6.
I don't think they'll get to an 11. I think they'll be a 12, but against the right 5 seed, Princeton can absolutely win.
So now that we've gone through all the teams, all the brackets, all the tournaments, when we talk to you next, we'll be talking from Selection Sunday, where we're going to know who's in the tournament. If you want to take the opportunity to try to beat the 60-year seniors in a bracket prediction contest, you can do so on ESPN. Just fill out the bracket in their fantasy area. It's easy to find. You know where to go. Search for 6th-year seniors bracket challenge. Spell out all those words. It's pretty basic. 6th-year seniors bracket challenge. Hope to see you there. Take your shot at Mikey and I. we're coming back to you on Sunday evening with Selection Sunday News. 68 teams slotted into their positions, Cinderellas and possible upsets and bad matchups and good matchups. Oh my God, I can't wait.
Yeah, we don't have a schedule again. We already went through the schedule. We did an hour of schedule stuff on here. Conference tournaments all week long. The next time we talk to you, we'll have a bracket in front of us. 68 teams, the whole smash, March Madness in full blast. It's going to be a happening. We might have a special show for you in 6 days.
That's called a tease, folks.
That's called a tease. I'll even throw this out there. There's even a chance of a super, super special show, but I can't go that far as to guarantee anything along those lines. All right. But we will be back to you with all sorts of shenanigans in a few days when we have when we've got the full bracket. Do you have anything else for the listening audience?
I do not have anything for the listening audience. Close us out of here.
I have no list of people who went on great tangents over the course of time, so I've got nothing else. That's the best producer in the business, Alan Capps. I'm Mikey Watson. We will be back next week to talk about 68 teams in the NCAA tournament bracket. There'll be some NIT shenanigans, some other stuff going on, and God knows what else right here on 60 Seniors.